in the place. We are, this moment, we don't have any specific activity, but we are waiting for the next scenes of the battle. The battle has just started. We are not at the battle.
We're going to continue this conversation and post it online at democracynow.org. Gustavo Esteva, founder of the University of the Land in Oaxaca, author of many books, speaking to us from Oaxaca. This is Democracy Now! Special thanks to our team, to Mike Burke, to Andres Contreras. I'm Amy Goodman. We have two job openings. Check our website. Thanks for joining us.
Time is now 8 o'clock. The KBOO Evening News produces a one-hour newscast every weekday night. We need writers, editors, reporters, and more to make this grassroots community resource happen. Are you interested? Would you like to try something exciting? Training and writing for radio, interviewing, field recording, and audio editing is all free of charge. But you have to go through the KBOO volunteer orientation first. Email Lisa Loving at newsdirector@kboo.org or call 503-231-8032. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with our hosts Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. Today we'll talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the environment, and the latest nonsense from the campaign trail.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival, the hallmark event for the Oregon Food Bank. This year the festival will be held July 1st through 4th at Tom McCall Waterfront Park. Everyone will need a pass this year to see such artists as Dr. John and the Night Trippers, Liv Warfield and the Special Horns, Curtis Salgado, and many more. More information about passes, the performers, the role of the Oregon Food Bank, and more can be found at kboo.fm/WBF2016.
Stay up late with Lanita Duke and Grassroot News on Wednesday, June 22nd from 10 p.m. until midnight as we celebrate the music of Roberta Flack as well as agitating for social change. Remember, stay up late with me Wednesday, June 22nd, 10 p.m. until midnight on KBOO.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Tom Dwyer Automotive Services, a full-service automotive shop located next to Portland's Selwood Bridge for over 30 years. They're a Blue Seal certified shop committed to client care and community support. Information on their eco certification, client carbon neutral program, courtesy shuttle, rentals, and more at tomdwyer.com. or by calling 503-230-2300. This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering organic coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or Grendel's.
Give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. And don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. And don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmurs. Send me off forever, but I ask you, please, don't fence me in. Just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. All my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountain ride.
Ah, the irony of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not lots of land, and it's being taken up by private interests who want to turn all of the land owned by the federal government into state-run land or county-run lands where the states don't have the money, and then, of course, it'll all be mined out and destroyed. They even want to put back in the uranium mines in the Grand Canyon. But that's not what we're going to talk about today.
How do you put back in a mine?
There was a uranium mine at the wall of the Grand Canyon.
Oh, you mean they want to fire it up again?
They want to fire it up again.
All right. Yeah. Switch it back on.
Yeah, and just to understand the implications of that, you know, these nuclear weapons fell out of a hydrogen bombs fell out of a plane in a crash in Spain. Properly cleaned that up.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, it's such a drag. And on top of that, the Obama administration wants to build smart little cruise missile nuclear weapons. All this stuff is so weird. But don't worry about it. We won't talk about that today.
All right. I'm Abe. You're Joe.
Yeah, and this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show at KBOO. The number to call, 231-8187. It is Talk Radio, but I got a bag of bad news that just won't quit.
Hey.
And I know you hate this when I have too many topics.
I do, yeah.
And I just can't help it.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I could help it, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, it just shows a general lack of discipline. That's what it shows.
Yeah. Lack of discipline.
Dare I say laziness.
Laziness. That's hardly mean. Laziness. I gather all this stuff up. I'm such a good bill. First of all, and I can't resist it, it's important to know that what's going to happen with the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, mm-hmm. is very likely to happen during the interim session, the lame duck session of Congress. Power trip, if she's, depending on where she goes with it. We now know from examining data that the trade deficit doubled under the Korea Pact, which is a template for the TPP. We know this. But this is a beloved thing with Obama and many others. And it's very likely to be slipped in during that period of time between the election of Trump and the... The election of Trump.
Secretary Clinton has disavowed the TPP.
She has, sort of. She
said she doesn't support it.
No, she says she doesn't support it.
Yeah. No. Don't pin this on some wishy-washy feeling you have. Did she or did she not say
yes,
something?
Yes, she did disavow it.
Okay. Did she say anything to lead you to believe that she doesn't really feel that way?
No, just general distrust of everybody.
Okay.
Okay.
Because right, I think we might do our viewers a bit of a disservice. Listeners, a bit of a disservice. if we threw things out just based upon some hunch we had, that would not be responsible.
It's not a hunch. It's a history of late stage capitalism.
Uh-huh. But you have no actual evidence. It's the Trans-Pacific.
No actual evidence. But I do have a Trump story.
All right, let's hear it.
I want to tell a Trump story. This was the New York Times today. So if that is indeed a reliable news source, it turns out that Trump's mentor was Roy Cohen. And who is Roy Cohen, you ask?
Yes, I do.
Well, see, because you're so young, you don't know.
Oh, man.
No, I got you there. That was good. I like that.
No, it's just
Roy Cohen was general counsel to Joe McCarthy, mm-hmm. the famous red baiter.
Right.
And Roy Cohen was a vicious... I can say this, he's dead. Vicious fellow, who, by the way, ironically died of AIDS.
And ironically.
Criticized and hated people, accused them of being queer, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. And so he didn't just hate communists.
No, he hated a lot of
hatred going
on. He did indeed. He was a leader in that grab bag, and he was the mentor for Trump. So when we look at the behavior of Trump, we're looking at the inheritance of Roy Cohen, intellectually speaking. Because I'm not saying that Trump has AIDS or anything.
I didn't think you were going there.
No.
Good.
No.
I'm glad we've established that.
Nothing to do with that.
All right.
But there's a great play, which later became a movie called Angels in America,
yeah.
which talks about Roy Cohen, actually. Anyway. There's so many things, and I know you hate this, but I'm here. You're here for 1 hour once a week.
Uh-huh.
And there's just so much stuff going on. There's a real attack on the farm bill. There's a real attempt to destroy organics, to water them down. Water them down is perhaps the wrong term. There's an effort to destroy all of the beautiful landscapes that should. He's a well-trained.
Well-trained fascist club.
Fascist club.
Right, and that evidence of that is this completely error-free campaign that he's run so far.
Oh, yes, we can see how error-free it is
uh-huh.
and how beloved it is by
right.
some unknowledgeable folk.
So I think, therefore, we can conclude one of two things. One, that maybe perhaps he's not as well-trained as we thought. Or secondly, being a fascist clown, however well-trained, just doesn't sell these days.
I worry. And then, of course, there's the dropping of hydrogen bombs by accident in Spain.
Yeah.
When a bomber cruising with these nuclear weapons bashed into the plane that was supposed to refuel it, or maybe the refueler bashed into the plane with the bombs, and they all fell on Palmares in Spain, and they didn't get properly cleaned up.
I see. They didn't detonate, obviously.
Yeah, that's true. They didn't detonate. They just leaked incredible amounts of plutonium.
Hmm.
But don't worry. Don't worry.
Yeah, it was a B-52 in 1966.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Isn't the computer marvelous?
It is. Yeah.
Okay, so, but we're not going to talk about that. No point to talk about that. Let's not worry about it. Let's not worry about it at all.
But see, we just did. Isn't this fascinating little meta conversation we're having, listeners? we're not going to talk about that, but we just finished talking about
that. Yeah, but don't worry about it.
It's okay. Oh, it's fine. It's okay. Everything's fine.
Don't worry about how Trump was trained by Roy Cohen. It's not important, you know. So, you know, don't worry about the TPP.
This is why I don't like to have a whole bunch of topics.
Because I bring them up?
No, but because we can't focus sufficiently on any one or any two. It sort of ends up a sort of scattershot program.
Well, I don't mind.
KBOO, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it's
94.7 FM.
This is Discipline Radio.
That's right. This is the Abe and Joe Talk radio program. The number to call, 503-23. So taking your written comments at the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Abe and Joe. And on Twitter at Honest Abe Phones. Charlotte, good morning.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to comment on Abe's comment that Hillary is not a supporter of the TPP.
Well, that's what she
said. She has been a very strong supporter of the TPP, and it was not until the 2016 election really got going, and Bernie was making a lot of headway with his opposition things, and Trump was making headway with his attacks on NAFTA, that when the document, the secret document that the corporations and the governments had been creating, was finally open and put in onto the fast track, it was only then that she actually gave a qualified opposition to the TPP, because what she essentially said was, well, gee, it has things in it I don't like. So I can't really support the current document. Now, she, to my knowledge, she was not specific about what part she didn't like. But so that's not a rejection of the TPP. It's actually saying, well, there are things in it that I just don't like, so I'm not going to support the current document. I would like to emphasize that there's a lot of money behind supporting the TPP, and it's only because of the strong resistance in the 2016 election, both by some Democrats and some Republicans, that they could not do the fast track this year, which they had wanted to get done before the election had really geared up. And the theory at this point is that during the lame duck, that somehow there will be a very strong attempt to maneuver. And you have to remember, people have been putting money into the elections and have the threat of money or not, big money, who are all supporting TPP. And social, labor, environmental stuff, so many things are, as well as trade, are in this, including the sort of uber organization, judicial organization, that is a secret organization that can make decisions that override national decisions and national interests on a lot of things.
Okay, our bell rang. We have to let you go.
In deference to the corporation's needs and demands.
Sure.
Okay, bye-bye.
Absolutely. It's true that there is an awful lot of money tied up in these international trade agreements representing a whole range of different interests. My point was simply to say that as of now, Secretary Clinton is on record opposing the deal, although she did qualify a little bit. She says in its current form.
Yeah, that's what she says, in its current form.
That's right. The TPP as it exists.
Am I wrong not to trust? Do you think I'm unfair?
I'd let you draw your own conclusions. But it is a fact that she has not endorsed the TPP.
The fact that I have introduced a large number of topics should not discourage you folks out there from calling and focusing in on one or another. The dropping of our own nuclear hydrogen bombs in Spain, which was downplayed and was a real thing and is still a real thing because they didn't really clean it up thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tomatoes with a little plutonium in it. It's okay. Okay, a little plutonium, you know, good for the teeth. there's that. And I find fascinating the inherited fascism of Roy Cohen and Joe McCarthy that is reflected in Donald Trump. I take it very seriously. Trump is a clown, but he is a fascist clown.
Hmm.
Okay.
Let's go back to the phones. Dave, good morning. Dave, you're on the air. Hello.
You're on the air, man.
Me?
You.
Yes.
Oh, okay. You have such a long delay, I was wondering.
Well, we were having a little challenge on our equipment.
Okay. Yeah, I want to make a comment about Obama and TPP and Fast Track. I once called him a traitor because of this.
Mm.
When you see what the TPP is going to do to this country, that he would support it. And I voted for him twice, but that he would support the TPP when it's going to be so damaging, that is traitorism, as far as I'm concerned.
Hmm.
And he's going to do a terrible thing to this country, to the world, but to this country. We're going to lose jobs. We can be sued by these companies if they don't like what we're doing. I mean, it's frightening. It's frightening. And he is a traitor.
Okay,
I call him anything else but a traitor.
I don't know about the term traitor and the concerns that you express.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to make another comment. I heard this morning they're talking about the economy and the slowing of the economy. People can't buy things. I'm jumping from another to another topic as you are. People cannot shop. People cannot support the economy because they don't have jobs or they're not making enough money. So are we going to have the 1% that are sucking up all the money? Are they going to be? They're not a market for everything in the world. They can't support the economy. They can only support their gold-plated bathroom fixtures
and their yachts.
And their yachts and their airplanes. So what the hell is happening with the economy? It's tanking because people can't support it, and then they fight a minimum wage. So I mean, where are their heads?
Well, you've put your finger on the big fallacy of trickle-down economics. This is the economic philosophy that says that if you do things to support the production side of the economy, the ownership side of the economy, like cutting taxes, for example, and easing regulations and getting rid of barriers to international trade, then that wealth that is created will find its way down to workers. Well, after 30-plus years, there's absolutely no evidence that this is, in fact, the truth. And
that's what Reagan was telling us.
That's what Reagan was telling us. And that's why on this show and in other left-leaning parts of the commentariat, we have been pressing for a long time for a return to the sort of demand-side economic stimulus championed by President Roosevelt during the New Deal. Meaning, if you pay people more, if you put them to work, if you put money in their pockets, then they will go out and spend that money, and that's how the economy flourishes.
Yeah, it's called supply and demand,
our infrastructure and put people to work fixing our infrastructure.
Yeah,
couldn't agree more.
And we'll be doing good for the country. We're doing good for everybody.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Give me some high-speed rail and I'll be happy. Thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Yeah.
See?
We've been talking about that literally for years.
Literally.
Yeah.
We're probably boring, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, probably so.
We should probably talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's much better.
Yeah, we probably should. Well, should we go back to the phones?
Yes, please.
Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Very well. Good. How are you?
So, listen, I got a couple comments. I mean, you know, Hillary is saying, oh, no TPP, I'm against it. Well, you know, however she's saying, that's a lot of things at the camp on the campaign trail that never came true. You know, they became wishes and, you know, hopes.
Well, you do understand that he faced a weirdly resistant Republican Congress.
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he gave up. I mean, that's my opinion. And I think a lot of people share that. But, you know, who am I? But the Roy Kahn thing, I think, is real interesting, because if you look back, you'll see Nixon was part of that McCarthy team.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very active with Roy Kahn and the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Reagan headed up the, you know, the anti-communist leagues. And, you know, he was a devout anti-communist when he was in the Screen Actors Guild.
Right. That was he got rid of Jane Wyman, his wife, who was a liberal. And then he turned to the right.
Who was very hot, too.
Don't get into that.
Well, yeah, it must have took a lot to get rid of her. But, you know, anyway, so you know, the thing is, I shouldn't have said that. That was awful.
No, you really shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But anyway, you know, the bottom line goes, like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, is like, you know, it sounds like to me, and not I don't think it's a very, you know, close conspiracy or a very well thought out conspiracy, but it sounds like McCarthy's gang, who were behind him, the real brains behind McCarthy, have actually been running, you know, and are planning on running a country all the way through the 21st century, right?
Well, I don't know about running it, but certainly influencing it at a very high level.
It's pretty scary that, you know, I mean, a guy who founded that movement, you know, the old drunk that he was, and, you know, along with his other cronies, are able to hold on to, you know, some form of power for this long.
Well, you know, that's a good point, and I appreciate the call.
Yeah, and sorry for that.
No, it's okay.
That's all good.
Sexist remark.
Yeah.
I apologize for it. Have a good day.
Okay,
you too.
Take care. You know, this I bring this up because it really is important. Trump is, I like to call him the clown fascist,
mm-hmm.
but in fact, there is an agenda there that is clearly a reactionary agenda coming out of the 1950s, and perhaps before that. And it manifests itself in a variety of ways. You know, Trump with Ivana, his first one. But he made her sign an agreement, a prenuptial agreement, which essentially said if she left him, he gets everything back, all the jewelry, everything he gets back, which gives you an idea of what a generous soul he really is.
Indeed. Mark writes into the Facebook page, that's facebook.com. If we became a protectorate of Western Canada, the generous Canadians could solve campaign financing and the melting of the dollar, where our Supreme Court and polarized, paralyzed Congress are helpless. We are a needy people, possessed by our possessiveness and recklessness. Hillary, a successful fundraiser, is worlds away from the selfless Senator Sanders, who is an FDR admirer and New Dealer, passionate about income inequality and public investment. Hillary seems like a card player in an economic system caught in vulgar materialism without system correction or system criticism. Our country, made listless and oblivious, yearns for a tap dancer like Fred Astaire.
Wow, that's a lot of mixed metaphor. I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. 503-231-8187. Who's next? Michael, good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So I think that this whole TPP thing is just one instance of a much larger issue.
And what's that?
And I ran into an article in The Atlantic magazine called The War on Stupidity yesterday. And it's
stupidity is winning, but go ahead.
And it said something that I've been saying in my own not as famous or articulate way for years, which is we've got a country that has X percentage of very smart people and X percentage of not so smart people. You know, there's a distribution curve of how smart people are. And there's this whole thing now about how the jobs of the future require highly technical skills and, you know, everybody will be taken care of by becoming one of these kind of people. And it's just not true. There's lots of people who just aren't smart enough to learn these technical skills. things are going on now that I read about, like the minimum wage is going to go to 15 in a lot of places, and there are robots that are going to be installed in places like McDonald's that are basically going to turn a McDonald's into a giant vending machine. There won't be anybody working there because all of a sudden the robots are economical if you have to pay people.
What is your larger point?
And the larger point is that, and this, like I said, this is something we really should be configuring our economy to make places in it for the people we have instead of creating this giant economy for people with IQs above 120.
You know, I actually agree with you. I think the solution, the rational solution, is a guaranteed wage for everybody, that thus creating demand for goods and services that doesn't exist right now. But I can't imagine that happening.
I also think that's a bad idea because, you know, you give people money but no feeling of, just say, okay, you're garbage and we'll give you something to maintain yourself on, but we don't really give a rip about you.
Yeah.
I think it's better to create an economy that just, you know, all right, let's not have all these robots. I mean, they're about to automate all the trucks.
Yeah, that scares the hell out of
me.
And
the robots will do a better job of driving the trucks than the human truck drivers, probably, but what are we going to do with all these people who currently make a living and get a sense of, like, I'm a part of this functioning society? Once we don't have truck drivers, or, you know, the driverless won't be necessary.
Well, I think you're raising, actually, I usually disagree with you on everything, but I think in this structural point, and I appreciate the call.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear that for once you're thinking straight.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Michael.
I like Michael. He's funny.
Wanders never sees. I kind of like this caller-driven show we're having here.
Yeah, that's nice. Good.
Let's go. Let's keep it going. Let's go back to the phones. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
All right. Hey, well, how are you?
Actually, I got a couple annoying ideas. They aren't mine, and I'm one of those not-so-smart people that the fire. See, the capital follows the path.
Uh-oh. Right. You know, you're breaking up. Can you say that again, please?
Yeah, the idea that capital follows the path of least resistance mm-hmm. to greatest return has always annoyed me, because there may be an element of truth in that. And then the concept that, you know, if global trade lifts 3 million people in the developing world from poverty into the middle class, but 1 million people from the developed world, from the middle class, net human progress, you know, there's a net benefit. And that's a justification for that Wall Street uses for things like TPP. And then the last idea I have is there's, you know, the homeless issue in Portland, you know, if there was simply more sensitivity from the advocates for the homeless to, you know, it seems like it's hard to feel compassion when you drive by places where people are, you know, soiling their own habitat. And you know, how do we, in people who are in that desperate situation, to be more careful and more certainly, but if you're, you know, how do you access a dumpster if it's, you know, in an access a porta potty if it's in a remote location? I mean, this is, you know, these are logistics and technical questions that I don't know are being carefully considered. So I'll
thanks.
Yeah, so there are a lot of very visible encampments of homeless folks that have sprung up around weeks.
Yeah.
I'm talking particularly about the eastern base of the Morrison Bridge.
That's a great camp.
Yeah.
And it is a mess.
It is a mess, yeah. But talking about it being a mess, I think, is to sort of miss the point. You know, these are our fellow citizens. They live among us and we among them. And so the conversation, when it revolves around things like, oh, this is messy and there's a lot of waste, you know, that is to very much miss the point, which is, what do we do about the set of root causes that are just enforcing them to camp out in places like the east end of the Morrison Bridge? That is the question.
Well, no, I think it's very reasonable. I also think that the drive to create greater densification for the city with a sense is a crucial factor. Is there no rational policy of and concern for poor people, poorer people, people who've lost jobs through no fault of their own or even through foolishness?
Well, I think the answer is clearly no, or else having.
Right.
These are people who have been failed by capitalism. Now, you ask, is there a rational solution? A free market advocate would say, well, this is a rational situation because people in the market have acted rationally, trying to, a market advocate will say to you, and believing themselves to be completely rational. But I think any truly rational assessment of the situation would say this is a failed system. If this many people are left in the margins through the cracks, then clearly this is a system which has failed.
Well, I agree with you. And I in fact, think that it's beyond the concern for who's stuck out there. There is the fact that when you create large numbers of people who have no access to health care, no access to good food, no access to decent housing, et cetera, you're creating the situation where a virus or a germ, as it were, can sweep through the whole community, not just catching those folks, but us as well.
And I don't know if the caller intended to be ironic or not when he talked about people who are fouling their own environment. Well, all of industrialized society has been fouling its own environment for about 150 years now.
True fact that.
True fact that. So let's go back to the phones. Mitch, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I appreciate Joe getting early in the setting up of today's program a word in about the Korea trade deal that precedes the Obama push for TPP, because that is something that has been kept out of news media. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I have gone looking in business sections, because usually you find the greatest amount of journalistic candor in the business section.
That's true.
Where investors need to know the facts. And there has been, except for Forbes magazine, very little review of this 2012 trade agreement. And I think your program could put a link up on your program website at KBOO webpage. A broadcaster like KBOO taking political sides, because what Common Dream shows is that the Democratic Party has been as deep into these economic global trade deals that have hurt middle classes around the world. That would be useful, because even on the left, people's eyes feel, and I'm just so tired of every recap going back to NAFTA. It's as if President Obama has not passed and should not stand on the record of the trade deal he made in 2012 with Korea, which if your readers are Googling it, is KORUS, FTA, for Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement.
I'm glad you're bringing that up.
Hillary, and again, if I take a shot here at Hillary Clinton, it's not because I'm supporting the Republicans, and it's not so KBOO will get into any trouble. The fact is, we have no opposition party standing up for middle class job loss.
No, I think you're absolutely right.
So please send people to the Common Dreams website. They've done the journalism, but they're a nonprofit and they can't get into business sections across the country.
No, you're right. And I actually drew my information out of Public Citizen News, so we're
and
on
I
the
sent
same
you
page.
The link. So thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you, sir.
Well, that's good, I guess. I don't know. I
free trade agreements going par for the course, and the negotiations for the TPP, for example, were carried out entirely in secret and allowed to see the entire document as it currently exists.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to understand that, and this is a fundamental thing that I believe, and I think you do as well, that basically, the structure of our economy is about wealth and the wealth creation for a few, not for the many.
Well, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. So, you know, it's important to keep bringing things up and keep reminding people of where everything's going. At the same time, we need to distinguish between that kind of neoliberal bad stuff and the incredibly scary fascist clown.
Yes. They are incredibly scary, aren't they?
That's it.
You know, he's talking about renegotiating America's sovereign debt like it was the same as refinancing a mortgage.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly, he hasn't thought this through. let's go to the phones. Leslie, good morning. Good morning.
Hi. The earlier call about the robots. I wonder how many hamburgers and fries those robots will buy. And I wonder how many Uber rides the robots are going to pay for. So.
No, I think you're raising, I have to say you're coming through in a strange echo, but I also want to say you're right. And I think it's really important to understand overarchingly the reality, you know, what I learned in high school, the economy works by supply and demand, and right now the function of demand.
Okay, I'll try to talk fast to get through. So the discussion of, you know, what percentage of the population is incurably stupid and can't be helped. Well, you can manufacture stupidity the same way you manufacture consent and the same way you manufacture critical thinking. If you want to manufacture intelligence.
Yes.
And one last comment. We just need to relentlessly push back against Obama's propaganda about the TPP. Not only Obama, but Clinton as well, because I have no doubt that she's going to resurrect it if and when she's elected. So we need to let them know that we're just not going to take it.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call.
Bye-bye.
I really hesitate to speculate as to whether Senator Clinton, if elected president, would reverse her opposition to the TPP.
There's no way for you or I to know.
No, there's no evidence to suggest that. And frankly, going back to whether or not it's true or whether or not you believe it to be true, going back to an alleged pattern of prevarication in the past, you know, that doesn't really hold up to any sort of intellectual rigor. So maybe she'll change position. Maybe she won't. There's really no evidence to suggest that she will. And frankly, it doesn't bother me that much that first she's, look at President Time did not support. And he took a lot of flack for that amongst certain people. Oh, you know, he was against it, but now he's with it. He's just a sunshine supporter of this. He just got on the bandwagon. I think that's the wrong approach. I think when somebody changes their position to a better one, you say, thank you. Welcome to the right side of this issue. And if Senator Clinton is sincere in her opposition to TPP, we should say, thank you. Welcome to the right side of this issue.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to understand that ever since Arkansas, the Clintons have been systematically attacked by the powerful elements of the right wing.
That's true, in really an unprecedented kind of way.
Yeah, and we'd never had anything as nasty for as long as this.
Yeah, and please don't misunderstand me. When I say that, and when Joe says that too, I think, it's no comment on her, on whether she's a fit presidential candidate or what kind of president she'll be. Well, regardless of what you think of her, it is true that both she and her husband have been subjected to an unprecedented and systemic pattern of attack and investigation over and over and over.
All of it yielding nothing of any consequence except a stained dress.
Right. 503-231-8187. John, good morning.
You know, on the topic of the TPP again, there is, in addition to the TPP, I think it's the TTIP that's going to be with Europe.
Yes.
In addition to that, there's what's called, and I don't know if you've heard about this yet, it's called the TISA, the TISA, Trade and Services Agreement.
No, I haven't
say
heard
that
of
again.
That.
It's the adjunct to the TPP. Yeah, I believe it's rules for implementation. It's called TISA, TISA.
Okay.
If you Google that and search under Michael Hudson and Chris Hedges interviews the economist Michael Hedges surrounding this. If you thought that the horror show of the TPP, and you've heard me rant on this repeatedly on your show, if you thought that that was bad, the TISA would allow things such as the following. A foreign corporation is allowed to purchase a U.S. corporation. After it has done so, it would then be allowed to import its own workers from its home country and pay them at the prevailing wage of the home country. Let me give you a scenario. Man. A company from Vietnam purchases a company in the U.S., brings Vietnamese workers, and pays them 22 cents an hour under the TISA here in the U.S.
Is this real?
I keep going back to the poem that you guys referred to, The Slouching Towards Bethlehem, the horror of this whole show that's coming out of the freight train. please go ahead. You can research it. When I listen to Chris Hedges interviewing Michael Hudson, I mean, it's like my
answer. Yeah, he is one of the best.
And I, you know, I don't want to, like, voice, you know, vociferous disagreements surrounding Hillary, but if one is at all curious, his most recent article regarding both the left and the right, the Republicans and the Democratic Party, kind of addresses his informed opinion of how trustworthy either side are on important issues such as the TTP. Thank you so much for your time. I will listen off air.
Thank you very much for the call. I think it is important. I mean, one of the things that I think is important is that we are facing, as often is the case in politics, despite the strong efforts of Bernie Sanders to develop a social democratic presence in the Democratic Party, despite that, which is brave and worthy, we really are a society of two right-wing parties, both of which at different levels seem to represent the ruling class.
Yes, indeed. To the concerns faced by the working and middle classes, but really their loyalties are with their donors.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think is interesting and important is that every now and then a crack appears in the liberalism, as it were, and we discover, and that's why I brought up Roy Cohen, we discover the heritage of and their absolute, and I consider it evil, intent to dominate and to not follow any of the basic rules of economics, like supply and demand.
Yeah. There's not a shred of evidence backing up the claim that lowering taxes on the rich results in increased prosperity for everybody. Not a single shred of evidence. But as Paul Krugman says, this is zombie economics. This is the idea that just won't die.
Right. Well, the trickle down thing of Reagan.
Yeah. Well, something's trickling down, but it ain't money. 503-231-8187. Who's up? Vernon, good morning. Good morning.
I have to say that I really like the multiple topic approach.
Okay. Abe hates it. He
yeah,
hates
it.
Drives
me nuts.
I think it allows us a chance to be a little broader and to step back and see the connections between all of the various issues. And one connection that I'm seeing is that everyone is desperately trying to save the economic system, which is fundamentally rooted in the concept that we must grow the level of consumption. We must take more. We must continually make everyone richer and better and stronger. That just can't work on a finite planet.
No,
we are facing
you're right.
Global climate change. We are facing the sixth great extinction, and the only way we're going to avoid that is to radically reduce our consumption, start building topsoil, and stop building machines.
Well, I in
your concept of putting in rapid rail,
mm-hmm.
I say, yeah, let's use Pentagon money, put rapid rail in the middle of every freeway in America, but you're going to have to make them out of recycled cars. Starting with all those big pickups that are clogging up our roads. They're not work trucks. They're these massive machines that are rolling over everything that's sacred. People you were talking about, and that's not going to be easy.
Ordinary folks, I think that...
ordinary folks have got to stop living the way we do. We're consuming way too much and not putting back to nature.
I say let's take all the yachts and turn them into rails.
I don't think you have nearly enough yachts.
Fine.
Right. Hey, thank you, sir.
Private airplanes and then the big trucks.
Okay, man.
Got to get those damn big trucks out of the way of the bicycles.
Thank you for the call.
Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, Naomi Klein speaks on The Radical Leap, another fantastic author and journalist, Naomi Klein.
Yeah.
At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15, Flashpoints reports on the killing of at least 9 striking teachers and their supporters in Oaxaca, Mexico, by police. Also, a remembrance of the Rana Plaza collapse in Bangladesh that killed over 1,000 people 3 years ago. At 11, Alan Montesillo guest hosts on Stage and Studio. And at 11:30, Art Focus is off. Instead, we'll hear Making Contact, featuring Jane Meyer, author of Dark Money, The Hidden History of Billionaires.
Another great journalist.
Yes. And James Bennett, editor-in-chief of Atlantic Magazine. A fine publication. But all that's coming up today. Just today.
Today.
KBOO, ladies and gentlemen, is well worth your time. And finally, an extra notice about a program tomorrow. On Wednesday, talk radio at 8 a.m. this time tomorrow. The topic is The End of Polar Ice and the World as We Know It. Paul Rowland's guest is Peter Wadhams, professor of ocean physics at the University of Cambridge. All this and more coming up on your community-supported radio station, KBOO.
Yes.
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 Let's go back to the phones. Francis, good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Lots of stuff you're talking about here.
yes.
The infrastructure, that's one of the reasons I support Bernie Sanders, is because he talks about rebuilding infrastructure all of the time. I'm concerned about the Democratic Party and how it's going to go in Philadelphia. I want to know if Hillary Clinton is so supportive of us, the people. I want to know why it is that a woman can get paid $250,000 for a speech and not feel that she would want to share the speech. I'm starting to wonder if there even was a speech. it might have just been a little paycheck. But beyond that, I, as a woman, am tired of hearing about babies being killed in my name on the other side of the world. Right now there are running and fleeing and drowning and dying as a result of bombing and devastation. All this conversation right now seems really narcissistic to me. It's like, do we even care? When we say we want a woman to be president, why do we want a woman? I'm going to say, why the hell do we want a woman if she's going to go along with the same program? If she's going to do the same thing, what does that change anything?
So you're saying the fact that Senator Clinton is a woman is in and of itself not sufficient reason to support her, in your opinion?
Exactly, and Killer Mike got in trouble for saying that because he used a medical terminology for what she is. Because he said it takes more than a uterus to be president.
I see.
Okay, but he was correct.
That yes, yeah.
As a woman,
perhaps not the most artful way to say it, though.
Exactly. But he was responding to that sort of rhetoric. As a woman, I want a woman to stand up and take the lead in this whole dang world and say, we are not going to drop one more bomb on one more baby. And that may sound childish, that may sound simplistic, but it's real. I saw a video yesterday of a young little baby being rescued from all this rubble, from bombing, and screaming and crying. And these people were so happy that they rescued this little baby. How many others were not rescued? How long are we going to let this continue and pretend like there's no reason for people to be upset with us?
No,
they didn't happen to mention who bombed the rubble. They didn't mention whose bomb it was, but it's probably one that was purchased by some military trade or war merchant trade that we made. So, you know, let's get real. Let's get real, really.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. And on the whole, I actually agree with that. I feel that we are an ahistorical, knowledge-based society. Nobody recently has said Cheney made a war with the support of the Republican Party and a lot of other people that has led us to endless war in the Middle East, which can never be resolved, which has created in its own wake a kind of weird religiously-based terrorism, all of which has come back on us, which was predictable. And we keep pretending that somehow this can be isolated and treated as a phenomenon not related to the policies of the United States.
Well, I think, to be fair, the religiously based terrorism existed already, although it's been exacerbated by orders of magnitude because of the ridiculous bungle
that was
the war in Iraq.
If we want to really follow this intellectual route to its sources, it's Saudi Arabia, our ally, that has promulgated throughout the world the extreme radical Islamic sects with schools and so on.
503-231-8187. Who's next? Oh, do we have anybody? Barry,
Hello.
Barry, what's up?
Barry, yeah, hey.
Hey.
Great, I didn't think I was going to be on. The two blocks of, in back of Washington High School, it used to be its track. I've talked to so many people. I've described 20th, 12th, all the, in northwest Portland, all the people camping on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've gone before the city council, and they just sit. They wouldn't respond. But I'd like to know why that area isn't being used for all of the homeless people and all of people in tents. Do you know why?
I do not.
You don't. Okay, what happens to that in the mornings? Well, maybe one or two of the neighbors will go out and run their dogs in the field, and that's all. And there are all these people out on the sidewalks. And all I can figure, somebody told me that that land was to be the price on with all the homeless. Do you understand?
No, I see your point. And I think in general, it is very, which is a goal of the region. And at the same time, to not create housing for homeless people and for poorer people. And we're ignoring that. We really are.
Yeah, ignoring is the word. And as far as homelessness goes, the commodification of homeless, like, for instance, like in one church for so much money, 12 veterans can sleep in a room for, you know, for several nights and stuff like that, the commodification of homelessness. But also to put this aside, to keep putting it aside, I don't want to live in a city that would do that. And yet nobody has given me, none of the commissioners, no one has given me any good reason why that can't be used as an encampment.
Well,
you understand?
Yeah, I do. Barry, I have to let you go, give others an opportunity, but I think you're raising an interesting point. I don't think the city has a rational plan for dealing with people who are on the streets. Thank you very much for the call.
Yes, but we don't want to commodify homelessness, huh?
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you now.
Thank you. 503-231-8187. Who's next, Steve? Alan, good morning.
Hello. Hi, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good.
Well, how are you?
Great. I'm doing well, thanks. Well, my concern is about the United States and its path it's going, and the TPP is just part of the bigger program that has already been instituted, really, you know, worldwide by our empire. We go, you know, what the United States needs to do, I mean, you know, we're $19 trillion in debt going to 20. We are bankrupting ourselves because we are in the business of empire. We got to get out of the empire business. I mean, let me ask you if you agree with this statement that the military that we have over 1,000 bases all over the world is actually a police force for protection of corporations that we have invested in foreign countries. And that is the whole reason why the wealthy likes the idea of having a big military, because they pay for the protection of their corporations on the backs of the American people, where their profits can be made. And this is a continual drain on the whole fabric of our nation, because we are draining our resources in this corporate protection. So I want you to respond to that.
Well, I don't disagree with you.
No.
So my response, and I think Abe's as well, is yeah, it is an imperialist endeavor. It is late stage capitalism, and it is at the expense of human beings all over the world.
Yeah. The problem is I'm sort of looking back over less than complete knowledge of history and trying to think of people who have successfully gotten out of the empire business. You could argue
it's always to the point where you get out of the empire business when you bankrupt yourself. And of course, you know, we're on the verge of that happening anyway. I mean, you know, and you're looking at the big bubble of the financial world right now, which everybody is talking about, and where there's so many people afraid that this is going to happen anytime in the next year, maybe, that the stock market may take a deep dive. I mean, there's, and the whole idea of this economy, the way it's run right now, where you're continually not having the needs of the people dealt with, like, you know, national health care or good wages or proper education or the way the taxes that should be spent on national interests rather than just corporate.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to let it go there. We're out of time.
I really appreciate the call, but we have run out of time, and that's the rules.
That's right. I don't know who's gotten out of the Empire business successfully. Maybe Great Britain?
No, not really. All right, you all stay tuned, and remember that not only is it the best news and reporting and information at KBOO, but the best music. And I keep emphasizing that because it's really good.
It's coming from the field, the deal, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Debtors Assembly in St. John's, Tuesday, June 21st at 4 p.m. under the Strike Debt is a nationwide movement of debt resistors fighting for economic justice and democratic freedom. This event also features a Strike Debt Portland potluck. Again, that's the Debtors Assembly in St. John's, Tuesday, June 21st, 4 to 7 p.m. at Cathedral Park in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's a minute after 9 o'clock. Here's what's coming up this morning on KBOO. First on Alternative Radio, Nickel Leap. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15, Flashpoints reports on the killing.